Dave Emery here. This is Side 1, for the record, program number 822, titled The Snowdenistas, the GOP, and Violent Secession. This is being recorded on November 23rd of the year 2014. Before getting into the main part of the program, I want to remind listeners that every For the Record program has a long article-length description on the SpitfireList.com website. So if some of the discussion is a little bit too intense or dense or pedantic, please use the descriptions for the website, for the each program, I should say, on the SpitfireList.com website. That way you can read the material if listening to it is not altogether satisfying under the circumstances. Also, be aware that the SpitfireList.com website features far more than just my efforts. Among the things to pay attention to are the contributions of a contributing editor who posts under the name of Terrafractalist, P-T as in Thomas, E-R-R-A-F-R-A-C-T-Y-L. There is a place to click on at the top of the description for this program, as well as on the front page of the SpitfireList.com website, to subscribe to the comments. And in addition to Terra Fractal, many other listeners have been able to make substantive contributions as well. Now, in the wake of the Republicans gaining control of the U.S. Senate and cementing their control, augmenting their control over the U.S. House of Representatives, we're going to take a look at just how extreme the GOP is. Often people who are engaged in or advocating the violent overthrow of the government or secession of parts of the country from the government are portrayed as extremists, and somehow the Republicans continue to wear the mantle of respectability. Well, that distinction between the violent secessionists and seditionists, basically people who are could be called patriotic traitors. They are advocating treason and sedition under the banner of patriotism, a frequent feature of fascism. By the way, there's a book by David Littlejohn called The Patriotic Traitors about various ethnic and national groups who became allied with fascism in the name of patriotism and, quote, supporting their own people. It's a common phenomenon. We're going to be taking a look at just how far out some of the, really the Republican Party is, and how they are joined very profoundly with people who are paramilitary right-wingers and are operating and or advocating in direct contravention of the constitutional authority while professing to defend the Constitution. These elements are profoundly racist and homophobic. And in turn, we're going to be looking at how this milieu overlaps and really is part and parcel to the milieu of what I call the Snowdenistas. I did a long series of programs about the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden, the man I have termed the Peach Fuzz Fascist, and far from being the defender of human freedom that he is portrayed as being, he is an ultra-right-winger. I call him another of my nicknames, in addition to Eddie the Friendly Spook, is the Peach Fuzz Fascist. He is an ardent supporter of Ron Paul, who in turn is joined at the hip with people like David Duke, the neo-Confederate movement, and people who think that the Confederacy was right, that the South should secede again, and people who believe in slavery. In turn, the Snowden op, and there is every indication in the world that Eddie the Friendly Spook, an intelligence officer, a spy, basically, is on an operation. And the Snowden op and the WikiLeaks op are part of the same thing. Snowden's trip from Hawaii to Hong Kong appears to have been expedited largely by Jacob Applebaum, a member of the WikiLeaks milieu, now residing in Germany. When Snowden went from Hong Kong to Russia, that too was arranged by a WikiLeaker, a woman named Sarah Harrison. And we have looked at WikiLeaks, its links to explicit fascist elements, the Palestinian Libertarian Organization, people like Carl Lundstrom, Holocaust deniers, and others. Far from being an advocate of human freedom and human well-being, Eddie DeFrendi's book really could be encapsulated by a quote that he posted online in 2009. This was when he was in Geneva, Switzerland, working as an officer for his employer at the time, the CIA. And it was supposedly in this time period when Snowden was suddenly struck by the Holy Spirit and finding himself overflowing with the milk of human kindness, decided to selflessly commit himself at whatever risk to bettering the human condition, blah, 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 blah. In fact, nothing of the sort is going on. The Snowden revelations have two levels. One is information that has been known for the better part of 20 years. The other is information whose only application would be treasonous and anti-American, disclosing the names of American intelligence officers and British intelligence officers and those of their families, and information that would be of no use to anyone but an enemy of the country. And again, the stuff about the NSA and GCHQ hoovering up private communications, that has been known for many, many years. What they harvest is metadata. Every major intelligence service on Earth does the same thing, with fewer civil liberties protections than NSA and GCHQ. Furthermore, as I have pointed out in the long series on Eddie DeFrendi's book, what you really need to be worried about with your communications are the corporations. These tech corporations are interested in and gathering up every last detail of your personal life, down to the most minute pieces of information about your personal health, your daily habits, and everything else. NSA does not care if you break wind in your cubicle at work. On the other hand, the corporations do. Eddie DeFrendi's spook could be summed up in a quote, as I was saying, that he posted online in 2009. He is an advocate of eliminating Social Security and bringing us back to the gold standard, the latter of which would immediately collapse the global economy. Snowden, in 2009, while railing against Social Security, said, "The elderly wouldn't be so effing," I have to paraphrase this because it's not permissible for normal broadcast, "the elderly wouldn't be so effing helpless if the government would stop sending them those effing checks so they'd have to get off their A blank blanks and get out of there instead of laying around in hospital beds all day." I'm paraphrasing slightly. That is Eddie Snowden. He is a nasty little fascist. And one of the aspects of the Snowdenista phenomenon that I have not really touched on. I've talked about the ultra-racism of the people around Edward Snowden. If you look at the Snowdenistas, as I call them, basically they are a Swiss cheese sandwich on white bread with mayonnaise. It is a white, 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 white phenomenon. A bunch of LWLs, basically. Lily white leftists, or lily white liberals. I do not think that it is an accident, A, that one of the main avenues of attack on our first African-American president comes from a group of people who are primarily white and who would be inclined to deny that they themselves are racists. I would also point out that, as I made a point that I made in For the Record 762, the Snowden, quote, disclosures, unquote, have been greeted very favorably by young people, young and idealistic voters, including many of those who supported Barack Obama in 2008. I think that the Snowden op, an extension of the WikiLeaks op, had much to do with the Republican takeover of the Senate and their cementing of their control over the House of Representatives. Two-thirds of eligible voters stayed home. I think a lot of those were the idealists and young idealists who had supported Barack Obama in 2008. One of the phenomena, before I get into the main body of the program, I think that racism has entered into the presidency of Barack Obama in two basic ways. I think a lot of people who are just going off the deep end about the Affordable Care Act and other things are in fact reacting to the fact that Obama is black and they are basically racists. I think there is a type of liberal or left racism as well. A lot of people who have professed to be disappointed with Obama, I think expected Obama to be a leftist, which is just silly. Leftists don't get anywhere near the presidency, and the fact that Barack Obama is an African-American does not mean that he is a leftist. And I think a lot of the people in the more liberal segment of society automatically expected him to be a leftist because he is black, and that is judging a person by the color of their skin rather than by the content of their character. But I am convinced, and I made the point that I thought that the Snowden op, in addition, by the way, to being directed at the Obama administration, is directed at the NSA, American tech corporations, and other things. I made the point in For the Record 762 that, in all likelihood, the Snowden operation would cost the Democrats and Barack Obama very heavily. And looking at some of the freaks who have ascended to office under the banner of the GOP, I think we need to consider very carefully the nature of the Snowdenistas, the nature of the GOP, the nature of the neo-Confederate and neo-secessionist movements, and I would submit that they are part and parcel to the same thing, and that in turn the Palestinian libertarian milieu is front and center in both the Snowdenista scenario and in the lurking in the wings of the GOP. Plunging right in, we have noted in past discussion that Glenn Greenwald, Edward Snowden's leaking journalist of choice, his new journalistic undertaking has been bankrolled by Pierre Omidyar of eBay. Omidyar, in turn, has been bankrolling neoliberal and fascist elements in places like Ukraine, India, and elsewhere. And again, just go to the SpitfireList.com website and open quote, Pierre, P-I-E-R-R-E, Omidyar, O-M-I-D-Y-A-R, close quote, and see what you find. Omidyar's eBay Corporation is a major supporter of ALEC. What's ALEC? That's an acronym, A-L-E-C. Well, listen to the following. This is by David Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, from the Pando Daily of October 7th of 2014. What possible reason can eBay have for standing by ultra-conservative climate change deniers at ALEC? It reads in part, the tech world's strange love affair with ultra-conservative ALEC is unraveling. Over the past 2 months, Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Yelp, and Yahoo have distanced themselves from the American Executive Legislation Council, or ALEC, a Koch brothers-backed think tank that's pushed just about every controversial right-wing legislative initiative you can think of. Teaching climate change denial in schools? Check. Advocating for voter ID laws that disenfranchise minorities? Uh-huh. A national stand your ground law? Why not? And there are links on all of those items. The breaking point for ALEC's souring relationship with so many high-profile tech firms appears to be the group's denial of strong, widely agreed-upon evidence that climate change is real and humans are making it worse, skipping down. But despite the risks of aligning your organization with anti-sustainability interests, there's one high-profile tech firm that still has not denounced the organization. That is eBay, along with its billionaire founder and chairman, Pierre Omidyar. Today, over 80 nonprofits, including the Sierra Club and Greenpeace, signed a letter urging eBay to end its affiliation with ALEC, skipping down. eBay spokeswoman Abby Smith has finally responded to the letter, saying that ALEC promotes issues that are, quote, material to the success of eBay Incorporated and our customers, unquote, and that, again, quoting, our team of internal stakeholders meets regularly to assess the best approach for resolving these issues. The point being here that the bankroller of Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras's new journalistic endeavor, First Look Media, is a supporter of a Koch brothers-backed think tank. One of the major, in fact, the focal point of For the Record 754 is that Glenn Greenwald, the man I call Citizen Greenwald, is very much like the rest of the Snowdenistas. If you actually look at the reality of what he does, it tracks as far to the right as you could possibly get. He's basically something of an advocate of the third position. He champions Muslim Brotherhood-related elements, including the Council on American-Islamic Relations. That is viewed by many mistakenly as sort of an Islamic NAACP. This past week, the United Arab Emirates included the Council on American-Islamic Relations on its list of terrorist-supporting organizations. I don't think you can put that down to Islamophobia. Greenwald, as an attorney, was an active fellow traveler of Nazi and fascist groups. One of the things he did, he spent years representing those elements pro bono. Most significantly, he ran legal interference for the National Alliance, the publisher of the Turner Diaries and Serpent's Walk and Hunter. And the upshot of his legal activity was basically to defend those organizations against civil suits. Although you could certainly advocate in the U.S. that, you know, Jews are the spawn of Satan or blacks were akin to monkeys or whatever, as offensive as many people might find that, that would be protected free speech. When, however, you advocate as the National Alliance and other groups like the World Church of the Creator, also a Nazi group represented by Greenwald, pro bono, by the way, when you advocate hurting those people or committing violence, that's a different story. That is not protected free speech. And the National Alliance's teaching materials, such as Turner Diaries, the role model for the order that killed Alan Berg, the role model for the Oklahoma City bombers and others, that when you advocate committing violence against those whom you view as inferior or unacceptable for whatever reason, that is not protected free speech. But what Greenwald did was to see to it that they would be defended, they would be protected against civil suits, finding them liable for the damage produced by those who have taken their teachings seriously. So it should come as no surprise to see a neo-Nazi hacker schmoozing at a party with Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras. If this were an isolated phenomenon, I would not view it as significant. However, this fits directly in line with what Citizen Greenwald has been doing. From the Daily Banter of October 9th of 2014, iPad hacker released from jail, parties with Glenn Greenwald, publishes neo-Nazi screed, is by Bob Cheska, CESCA. It reads in part as follows. Way back in 2010, a so-called white hat hacker named Andrew Auerheimer, A-U-E-R-N-H-E-I-M-E-R, known online as Weave, capital W-E-E-V, exploited a security loophole on Apple's iPad and acquired the names of 114,000 AT&T customers who subscribed to the iPad 3G data service, skipping down. In April of this year, Weed's conviction was overturned because he was evidently tried in the wrong state, New Jersey. He was subsequently released from Pennsylvania's Allenwood Federal Correctional Complex on April 11th of 2014. The indictment remains, but the conviction no longer stands. During his time in jail, Weave apparently became a neo-Nazi, complete with a tattoo not unlike Edward Norton's tattoo in American History X, a giant swastika on his right pectoral. And then some of his writings here posted on a white supremacist website. I've been a long-time critic of Judaism, black culture, immigration to Western nations, and the media's constant stream of anti-white propaganda. Judge Wigginton was as black as they come. The prosecutor, Zach Intrator, was a Brooklyn Jew from an old-money New York family. The whole time, a yarmulke-covered audience of Jewries stared at me from the pews of the courtroom. My prosecutor invited his whole synagogue to spectate. They took, and speaking of the Jews, skipping down, they took control of our systems of finance and law. They hyperinflated our currency. They corrupted our daughters and demanded that they subject themselves to sex work to feed their families. These are people that have made themselves a problem in every nation they occupy, including ours. What's saddest is that we are the enablers of this problem. The Jews abused our compassion to build an empire of wickedness, the likes of which the world has never seen. And then the commenter goes on to write, no gray area there. Weave clearly hates Jews, African Americans, and anyone he perceives as anti-white. Oh, in addition to his conversion to the neo-Nazi cause, as well as his seemingly prolific online hate speech, Weave attended the party in New York soon after getting out of jail. The party was held by none other than Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras, who coincide with the ceremony in which the duo received the Polk Award for their reporting on Edward Snowden and the National Security Agency. Unless Auenheimer crashed the party, he was obviously an invited guest. And again, if that were an isolated phenomenon, I'd say, well, who knows, maybe someone made a mistake. But that fits only too clearly into the line of activities of Glenn Greenwald. And Julian Assange is the same type of a creature. WikiLeaks was hosted by the Pirate Bay website, financed by Carl Lundstrom, who also finances the largest fascist party in Sweden. Lundstrom also financed a speaking tour of Scandinavia by David Duke. David Duke joined at the hip, with Ron Paul, Edward Snowden's political candidate of choice, and a man to whose campaign he contributed. The top legal advisor to Ron Paul's 2012 campaign was Bruce Fein. He was Eddie Snowden's first attorney and is the attorney for the Snowden family. Assange and WikiLeaks landed on the Pirate Bay servers, courtesy of a guy named Joran Jermas, a doctrinaire Holocaust denier who handled WikiLeaks operations for Russia and Belarusia, or Belarus as it's called now. And Joran Jermas is part of a Russian fascist milieu that also networks with David Duke. So David Duke is something of a trace element for the WikiLeaks Snowdenista milieu. There was an interview with Andrew Auenheimer, a.k.a., quote, Weave, unquote. He is now, by the way, in Lebanon. And the Pando Daily of November 21st of 2014 has an article by Dan Rail, R-A-I-L-E. Weave in Beirut. I can't go home until most of the agents of the federal government are dead. The only hope I have of returning to the land I love, where I was kidnapped at gunpoint and had my house bulldozed, is if there is such a consistent level of change that most of the agents of the federal government are dead, unquote. And skipping down, Weed says he's encouraged by recent militia movements like that of Nevada rancher Cleven Bundy, but that they don't have their priorities straight. He tells me that he views Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh as a hero, again, inspired by the Turner Diaries of the National Alliance, whose sanctity was guaranteed by Glenn Greenwald, beginning again. Auenheimer tells me that he views Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh as a hero and explained his vision of sending tiny drones laden with high explosives to the personal residences of U.S. federal government employees. Quote, we are close to having atomically precise engineering for asymmetric warfare. Cheap, 3D printed drones. The tech is simple. The drones that the U.S. uses for airstrikes are crap, several generations behind. Pretty soon, anyone who wants will be able to have something better, unquote. Somehow we need to get the soldier types connected with the people who have the ideas about who should be targeted and how, unquote, he says. It's about the ideological preparation of a segment of the population. This, by the way, is what I have talked about in the programs I've done about specialized knowledge and abilities. skipping down. Note his affinity for Timothy McVeigh. We're going to see other echoes of this in the GOP. And again, the point that I'm making is that the supposedly respectable GOP, the paramilitary, violent, secessionist right, the neo-Confederate movement, people like David Duke, the Ku Klux Klan, and others, are part and parcel to the GOP, and the lily-white, supposedly libertarian, freedom-loving Snowdenistas and WikiLeakers are part of exactly the same milieu, although many, I would say probably most, of those who back Snowden and WikiLeaks are not themselves doctrinaire fascists, but rather they are naive, they are ignorant, and our media have just not done their job in identifying just who Snowden and WikiLeaks and these others are. They're not just spooks, they're fascists. Again, Eddie Snowden, you want to understand him in a nutshell? The elderly wouldn't be so effing helpless if the government would stop sending them these effing checks so they can lay around on their A-blank-blanks in their hospital beds all day. And I'm paraphrasing very slightly. If you would like to hear that in all of its glory or read it in all of its glory, I can't say that on the air, but if you want it in all of its profane glory, go to For the Record 771. And that is Edward Snowden in a nutshell. Skipping down, more about Weave, this neo-Nazi, who hangs out with Laura Poitras and Glenn Greenwald and thinks Timothy McVeigh is terrific. He is also somewhat uncomfortably a dandy of digital civil libertarians due to his intransigence in the face of federal harassment out at the bleeding edge of the First Amendment. Skipping down. Auenheimer's swastika tattoo is not a rhetorical device, nor is his relocation to Beirut a simple farce. I can attest that the sort of vitriol we regularly write on the internet springs as readily from Auenheimer's lips as his keyboard. And again, skipping down. America doesn't have a gun problem. Excuse me. America doesn't have a gun violence problem. It has a minority problem, Auenheimer says. Let's see how that dovetails with many of the other things that we're going to be talking about. And again, I'm going to rip through a lot of things very quickly in side two. I want people to pay close attention to how the GOP is inextricably linked with people who are in turn expressing exactly the sort of political activist views that Timothy McVeigh espoused, that the Turner Diaries espouses, that the National Alliance espouses, and that people like Auenheimer espouse as well. And this is the milieu of Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden. It's the milieu of WikiLeaks and a great many other people as well. Again, for newer listeners, they may be wondering, what in the hell is this guy talking about? Go to the SpitfireList.com website, open quote, The Adventures of Eddie E-D-D-E-D-D-I-E, The Friendly Spook, and then check it all out. And I think you'll find that this is a seamless connection. SpitfireList.com, again, that's the website that has my entire life's work available for download for free, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. And do please subscribe to the comments so you can get the updates on a lot of very important subjects from, among others, a contributing editor who posts under the name of Terra Fractal. This concludes side one of For the Record program number 822. The Snowdenistas, the GOP, and violent secession. This is being recorded on November 23rd of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.